That's the fanfare that we hear each and every Thursday, kind of. We won't be with everyone next week, but we certainly are today, and we'll return 2 weeks from now. But Matt Olien joins us in the Main Street studio. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Thanks, Greg.
The movie this week is The Life of Chuck. Here's the trailer.
In this moment, I am wonderful.
When you look up at the night sky, it can tell you stuff about your future. It won't lie to you. It's pure that way. You might see a lot more than you wanted. But if you have heart, you have hope. And you have heart in you.
The world, Chuck. Everything you've ever loved. Everything you see. Every year that you live, that world will get bigger and brighter. And more detailed and complex. You fill the whole thing. It'll be a universe. Isn't that wonderful?
All right, Matt, this is a short story by Stephen King. Not exactly what we're used to from Stephen King. What do you think of the movie?
I think a lot of times we think of movie reviews as either good or bad, right? Sometimes the answer is it's in the middle. And I think that is my answer today. That is an answer. It's there's good things about this movie and there's not as good things about this movie. Yes, it's a Stephen King novella, about a 60-page novella. This is his second collaboration with director Mike Flanagan. Now, Flanagan adapted Dr. Sleep, which was the sequel to The Shining, and I like that movie a lot, even though it underperformed at the box office. I want to say one thing right away for my listeners. I do know Mike Flanagan. He's a professional acquaintance. He's been to the Fargo Film Festival 3 times, so I just want to get that out of the way. I will do my best to be objective because, you know, I get along with Mike when he's here, and he's a talented guy who's achieved a lot. But just want to get that out of the way. I think there are really good things about this, and some things don't work. It's told in 3 acts backwards, okay? So it's a backwards story, kind of like Chris Nolan's Memento was back in 2001. So the film starts, it says Act 3, okay? And it works its way back as we find out about the life of Chuck, played by Tom Hiddleston, as a grown-up, and later played by Jacob Tremblay as a younger child. Tremblay, famous, Craig, as Brie Larson's son in the Oscar-winning film The Room, which Brie Larson got the Best Actress Oscar for. So it's kind of a dystopian view. Like in Act 3, Chiwetel Ejiofor from 12 Years a Slave fame and Karen Gillan are kind of the main actors in the first act, which is Act 3, if you're following me. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we will see Hiddleston arrive. I don't want to give too much plot points away because it is kind of a complicated plot to keep track of. And I think a lot of this does work pretty well. It's really nice visuals. I like the cinematography. But you're right. This is not a typical Stephen King story. It is heavy on the saccharine, heavy on the sentiment. And I think that's where I kind of land on kind of both sides of the fence, because I do think the film is really sentimental and saccharine. But I think a lot of people are going to like that part of it. And even the hardest of hearts people are going to be moved by some parts. I will say, without getting into too much plot, there are several dance sequences in the movie, including one with Tom Hiddleston and an actress, that kind of saved the movie. I mean, I was kind of not terribly engaged in the movie at the beginning, and then this dance sequence in Act 2 really kind of saves it. And it's a phenomenal dance sequence. It feels like you're watching a Gene Kelly movie. I also want to credit two other performances. Mia Sara and Mark Hamill play Chuck's grandparents in one of the acts, and they're really good in the movie. Ultimately, I think the point of the movie is it's about musings on life and how choices are sometimes made for us in life. And sometimes we make the choices ourselves, and sometimes we settle. We settle for what's called convention. It's also about the access to the inner world that people have, kind of this secret life that Chuck has in his brain that isn't typically, does not go with his job as an accountant in the movie. So I think some sequences work really well. The dance sequence is incredibly amazing. It is one of the best dance sequences. I felt like I was watching a 50s Gene Kelly movie, but other parts of it don't work. And here's the part, I think, where the literary origins of the life of Chuck give itself away. Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec fame, great narrator, great voice, right? He's the narrator of this movie. And in some parts of the movie, he narrates and narrates and narrates and narrates. I love narration in movies like William Holden and Sunset Boulevard, but sometimes there can be too much, and I think there's too much narration in this movie to the point where I think that's why they have Offerman narrate, is to explain things that are literary on the page. And sometimes when you do that, Craig, the film becomes less cinematic. And there's so much exploratory explanation that Offerman does in the narration that I feel like he is reading from the novella. He's reading from the short story, and I think that does weaken the movie. It has bombed at the box office, $2 million opening weekend. This is a film that got the People's Choice Award at the Toronto Film Festival in 2024. And when it got that, there was Oscar talk, right? There was Oscar talk. This is going to be a big hit. And so far, it has not found an audience at the box office. And that is disappointing for Mike Flanagan, who, as I said, I do know. Whether it finds an audience, I don't know. Remember Shawshank Redemption, another Stephen King short story. It took a while for that movie to really find an audience, but it eventually did, and it became this monstrous hit on cable television, even though it was not a huge box office hit in theaters. So let's see if Life of Chuck finds that. It's not as good a film as Shawshank Redemption, but we'll see what happens. Some good performances. I think there's too much narration. It's a little too sweet and saccharine, but it does make you think about life, and as I said, the dance sequences are incredible, and Tom Hiddleston is really good as Chuck.
Anything coming down the pike from Stephen King that you're aware of?
I don't know. I don't know. He likes Mike Flanagan. They have a really good collaboration going with Dr. Sleep and this. And King has even urged people in a recent interview to go see this movie. He really wants people to see this movie. He likes how the movie turned out. And as I said, I don't know if it's going to find the big audience that can make it an Oscar contender. Reviews are all over the place on this one, Craig. Some are really, really positive. There are some really harsh negative reviews. As I said, I'm kind of in the middle. I do think people might enjoy it if they go, if you're ready to see a story told backwards.
Yeah, that's odd for me to grasp my head around, but yeah,
it works pretty well. It works pretty well. It's just there's so much narration in it that it feels like you're watching a book on film a little bit.
All right, let's turn to the Oscar part of our weekly chit-chat, Matt. Kathy Bates won an Academy Award for Best Actress at the 63rd Academy Awards in 1991. For what movie, and was there a relationship to Stephen King?
Misery, and it is based on a novel by Stephen King.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olean.